Welcome to Ellie's Coffee Talks, the podcast featuring creative entrepreneurs in the Basel area over the best cups of coffee in the best cafes.
Welcome, Cyril, again. We're still on Bowen at Tell Your Friends Cafe, I believe. Tell Your Friends Cafe, yeah. And still beautiful. No sun today, but
not yet.
It's okay.
Not yet.
It's okay. So we told you that episode 2 was probably going to come. Well, it's here already. So we had a deep talk again last night.
Yesterday morning and yesterday midday.
Yeah, every single day, all day long.
It feels like a retreat. The moment you land on island, it starts bubbling.
So do you want to share what came up?
Yeah. What happened yesterday was around half past midnight, I had a client. I was surprisingly on the phone at that time on WhatsApp, and I got a client of mine who sent me a message and asked me to fix something urgently. These are clients that I work for. I do web development, and it's something that I've been doing for about 12 years, and it's something I've been moving away from for the past 2-3 years. And this is my last client, and he asked me to do something urgently, and I actually got out of bed and I went to work for him for half an hour, and then got back to bed, went to bed way too late, and then woke up the next morning feeling really, really groggy and grumpy and just completely out of place. Took me a time to realize, and I realized I made a concession. I made a massive concession, and it's one that I have been making for a while, which is I'm not doing what I want to do 100% just because this is a job that pays very well. And it got me thinking about most people, so many people, and so many people in this situation who concede and give up what they really want deeply, temporarily, or actually in the long term. And they're going to give it up just for the sake of getting a bit more money out of it and a bit more security. So, j'ai fait ça.
So she's getting her latte. All right.
Je pense que c'est à toi de poser une question du coup en réponse à ce que je disais, parce que c'est là où j'étais arrivé au bout de la pensée.
Tu es en train de dire quoi?
J'ai dit il y a beaucoup de gens qui acceptent. Je le connais lui, mais je ne sais plus où est-ce que j'ai rencontré. Il y a beaucoup de gens qui sont dans cette situation et qui font une concession, voilà, en échange d'un peu plus d'argent. En échange d'un peu plus d'argent et un peu plus de sécurité.
Okay. And I'm in this situation too right now where I need to make this concession. And yet there are always ways, other ways, but yeah, I can hear you completely.
And you know what it's all based on? It's based on fear. It's totally based on fear of not finding the thing that's right for me and that will pay the bills on the other side, right? It's that fear of staying. Yeah, exactly. So it's fear versus faith.
Yeah.
It's fear versus faith. Or you could call it love if you want. If you want to make a perfect, you know, one against the other.
They want to sound hippie a little bit. No,
yeah.
Kidding.
Because it's always, you know, it's always that. It's love, like self-love and just love for God or whatever, or the universe, or just that faith of saying, you know what, by doing what I deeply want, I will get paid. Like, the universe will provide because I'm doing the thing that I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's...
Which you experienced in the past, and I experienced it too, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And multiple times.
Yeah.
It's just... I guess in this case, the client comes to me like about one week ago, and it's a test. It's a test from the universe saying, okay, are you actually really over this coding stuff?
Mm.
Is this, or are you still needing to have that on the side? And you know, at that time, I had maybe 2 months of money, worth of money, like on the side that I can live from. And I was actually very comfortable in that situation. I wasn't, you know, panicking or whatever. But the fact that he came along and said, oh, I can offer you this money in exchange for this time, I didn't even think about it. I didn't listen to my inner authority. I didn't take the time to really figure out, is it what I want or not? And I just jumped on the occasion because it's like, it felt like free money. And a couple days later, I realized it's not free. It's stealing my time. It's stealing my time, which is the most precious thing we have. It's taking my time away from doing the things I really want to do and the ones I came to do on Earth. So, concession.
Yeah.
Yeah, concession.
And so, last night, after... So, you were about to... You were really uncomfortable with the situation and angry. The more you were talking about it, the angrier you got. And you almost, I guess, wanted to tell them, hey, actually, I'm not going to do it. And by me trying to ask questions, is it resistance? Is it this? Is it that? Talking about my own experience. Then... You found a solution to
it. Yeah, it unlocked. First of all, as you said, the emotion came up and I expressed it correctly and did get to that point where, I did want to throw everything away and kind of just quit, you know, violently. And hence, you know, cause pain to my client, which clearly doesn't deserve it because we've had a great relationship.
Yeah.
And he's not part of this issue of mine. And so then I let a bit more time, and then I realized I can, you know, use this client to do what I really want to do, which is I want to keep teaching. I want to keep teaching code. This is one of the things that really makes me happy and, like, profoundly satisfied. And so I realized that I could have, you know, a couple junior developers working under my...
Because you teach also.
Yes, because I teach and I mentor. I do one-on-one mentoring. So, I kind of found out the perfect solution, and I'm going to offer my client to see if he wants to still...
After that podcast.
Yeah, after this podcast, it's the first thing I'm going to do. Decision has been made, so I already feel a lot better. And actually, as we say this, once I had thought about that and I made the decision in my mind... Instantly, I felt so much better. And as I was saying on podcast number one, the emotion was transmuted and dealt with. And it's not something that's going to stick within me. And I can move forward and I'm back on the path of what I really want to do.
Often when you're facing that kind of dilemma or problem or whatever, you don't need to necessarily quit right away everything, move to Bowen Island.
That's what she's thinking. So quitting is one of the solutions. It's just one. There's making the situation better, or there's accepting it. Some situations there really is, you know what, accepting it is the right solution because I don't really have a choice, or I'm making money for a really good reason, you know, and hence, it's a fair, like, compromise on my side, you know. I'm going to get what I really want, but I need to go through this first. Compromise, that's fine, you know. It's really just, I really felt like I was doing a massive concession on myself, and I was, like, conceding in front of my heart, you know, like my being that really wants to do something and that is here on Earth to do something specific. I'm kind of giving up that dream in exchange for a little bit more of security, which I don't even really need, you know, which was just made me feel a little bit more comfortable. That's what I want to point out today, and I want to...
So concession with yourself.
Yeah, concessions with myself. And I see way too many people doing concessions around me. And
in your relationships, with work, with everything.
Yeah, with...
food.
Yeah, I can see people, you know, conceding. Yeah, for example, giving up
an entertaining life, you know, in exchange. That just brings them, you know, some sort of gratification. And what do they concede? They give up like their real dream, like their childhood dreams or what they really want to explore in life. Those are, I think, like the major concessions that we make. And it's really not healthy in the long run. It takes a lot of courage, I guess, to go through these fears, right?
Totally.
Yet, I couldn't... I encourage everyone to just jump through them and just, you know, confront them rather than concede.
I think the first step would be to realize what you really need, what you really want to do, all these things.
Yes.
That we have an online course coming up.
Yeah.
Online course in the making.
Yeah, so there's...
Not really, really have to do it if I'm saying this. Not yeah. Just take notes at the cafe.
Yeah, there is, and I mean, everything has a time, I guess, as well. You know, there's also a time to make the leap. I'm not telling people, you know, you don't like your job. There's absolutely no other potential something on the horizon, and so you should just go for it and just take a massive leap and expect that something will come up behind.
No.
I think.
Yeah.
It's more jumping to something better and doing the leap to something that's dragging you towards the top more. There needs to be that, right? It is still a leap of faith, but I'll just give a quick example for me a bit earlier, as I was telling you. I didn't think there would be any other source of income coming my way. I wanted to do mentoring full-time, yet I didn't have any opportunity right there. Yet I refused a big contract of coding that was offered to me in May. By refusing that, only a month and a half later, a friend came to me and said, oh, my company is offering me like a grant of like $3,000 or $4,000 for one-on-one teaching. Do you want to be my teacher? There you go. I had no idea this would come up my way. And yet, it came at the perfect timing, and it was in perfect response to that
decision
that decision of no, I don't want that anymore, and then the other thing came up. You can't wait until you get the silver platter. It's too easy. It can't be that easy.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be that easy. It's supposed to be a bit hard. You're supposed to take a leap of faith at some point and say, yes, the universe will bring me exactly what I need. Once I say no to what I don't need.
I feel like the hardest part, that's what it's been for me for the last 10 years, is to know what you really want. And even sometimes when you know what you really want, it's actually not what you should want. You know, the universe is like, no. Actually for you, no.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to discern.
Yeah.
Discernment is a bit difficult. And it's getting more and more difficult with the world of today because options.
Yeah. Yes.
It's that being in the supermarket and having the choice between 25 different types of salt. You know, that's... I think discernment is becoming harder and harder because of that. And that's why I love living in an environment where there's the least amount of input. Because that... it's... the discernment becomes clearer and clearer.
Yeah,
you have less options and you're just more faced with this... Okay, I'll go with that.
You're happier.
To me, it brings a bit more... It brings less frustration, definitely. It brings less frustration, less of that, what people call FOMO, right?
The fear of missing out,
the fear of not having taken the right decision, and being in an environment where you're overstimulated brings that difficulty of taking decisions, and it reinforces the mind as the decision making center. And as I was talking in the end of episode one, we all have different decision centers, and definitely not the mind. Definitely not the mind.
Yeah. So huge trust, and it's like this visualization or those visualization techniques that everything I follow on Instagram talks about that. You have to feel it before it actually happens. But not, it's not this thing of exactly what you were talking about with this friend who came to you and asked you to be a teacher, and you didn't expect that at all, but you wanted a certain thing and to feel a certain way, I guess, and especially not do what you were doing for years.
Yeah.
And it's and then you're open for anything. You're open for anything.
Yeah, completely. You've the space is there, right?
You just need to make the decision and how
thank,
it's going to make
and thank
you
the
feel.
Universe for doing for taking care
and
of it.
And have a little gratitude practice.
Yeah, and it's really. I mean,
and trust.
It doesn't go. The trust comes from the fact. Yeah, the trust comes from the fact you're just thanking the universe and saying thanks for doing that for me.
Yeah.
At the present.
Yeah.
And. You know, the universe doesn't know past, present, future. It's all just one big moment in the scope of the universe.
Right.
Time. A lifetime is a second, so it's now. And just saying, okay, thanks for bringing whatever contracts my way that that I need and that correspond to me, that are correct for me.
Yeah. I use it more and more. With less and less fear, of course, it's always coming back from time to time. But also realizing that I was never lacking at any, and I thank my parents for that, for sure. Mm. But also, there was always work coming up at the right time. When the bank account is like going down more and more, it just comes. Because you've made the decision that, okay, now it needs to come.
This
and then
is
comes up.
Yeah, this is something we were talking about on the beach the other day.
It's hard.
The struggle.
It's a hard life.
It's the constant struggle over here. We're really suffering. we were talking about the fact that our parents and probably most people that are listening to this podcast, our parents and grandparents, we're in this generation where they were driven by this need for
security
and filling in the lack that happened during the wars. If you were in, you know, in Europe, that's the trauma that happened at the time. There was a lot of lack. People went through a big time of suffering because of lack of material needs. One of the primal, basic, first level Maslow pyramid needs. And the fact that we went through this time where there was material accumulation, it kind of fixed that in a way. And I feel like today our generation, I don't know about you, Ophidi, but I don't have that fear of starving. I just don't have it because I also live, you know, in the Northern Hemisphere. And
of course, everything we say right now is for our kind of country.
Yeah, for the more.
Of course.
Yes, of course, for most people.
Every
country, every community, every person is at a different level of experience in that Maslow pyramid. Mm. You know, we're all at a different level. But I feel like that first level has been so satisfied for so many years by the people that gave birth to us by our lineage that we have it inside us. I have that inside of me. I have that deep sense of security that I'm not going to end up on the street. And that really helps me to do what I truly want. Things that our parents and our grandparents were not able to do. They were too busy taking care of those first needs. And we have the luxury. Mm. And that's why I feel really deep gratitude for my parents and my grandparents, because they gave us the opportunity to now explore what we deeply want and to take these leaps and just say, you know what, I don't need to do that good, well-paying job. I can just jump to the thing that I'm really meant to be doing on Earth.
Yeah, it's we're super lucky. And yet, we don't take advantage of it enough.
I guess that's the thing,
yeah.
Realizing that there's kind of a massive safety net nowadays.
Yeah.
And that we live in... The only thing that could really happen to us is eating rice for a month. That's my only... I see that as like the lowest, you know, that could kind of happen.
Yeah.
And that should be really be a lot more motivating to just dive forward.
Yeah.
All these people you know, doing startups, right? Starting up companies and living on ramen for months and months of... it's like, we can do that, you know? We can do that nowadays. We can take those risks. It's not so much of a risk.
Yeah.
So. You're not risking throwing out an entire crop in the winter and then starving to death, you know?
Yeah. So what would be the risk you would want to take? Maybe you can ask yourself that question.
Yeah.
What you need to take.
What is the risk you're not taking right now?
Mm.
What is the risk you are not taking and that the universe is asking you to take, whereas it's going to tell that person you love them, or whereas it's jumping on that opportunity that's been there for a while, the professional opportunity, or just going for that course that you've been wanting to do for so long and you need to spend that extra money. It's everything is a kind of an investment.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're not doing that, you're really conceding and you're putting your dream aside, and there's nothing worse than putting your dreams aside.
Yeah.
You don't want to be miserable.
Yeah. So concession with work, now we talked about that, but it also works in relationships, and I want to tap on that a little bit, because something I discovered recently, thanks to my coach and the whole engagement thing till, and in general. And so it's this, my coach said, you're not supposed to concede or let's make the difference between compromise and concession.
That's what we were saying just before. It's compromise is what both people do after a negotiation. It's when two people want something, but we won't be able to have both of them. It's not possible. The situation doesn't permit it. So a negotiation starts, and then you reach a compromise where both people get a little bit a part of what they wanted, and so both people are kind of happy, which can make them in the long run both very happy. Yet on the other side, it's the concession. It's really putting your deepest desire aside and not getting any pleasure out of the other person's satisfaction of their desire. And then you were telling me that there was a situation where you didn't satisfy what you wanted, but you felt deeply happy of
making the other one
the other one happy.
Yeah.
That's compersion, right? It's a word in English called compersion. I think a lot of people use it in polyamory situations where they're happy.
That's why I don't know the word.
That's why I know. And so it's somebody that's going
now
to
you
feel
know everything.
it's something where the other person is satisfied, is happy. They experience a deep feeling of happiness because the other person is feeling happiness, generally through a sexual encounter.
Yeah.
Through a, right?
So, what my example was, I didn't want to go to a party. And I mean, I didn't mind, but I would have rather stayed home. And then Till wanted to go to the party. And I knew it would make him really happy if I would go with him, and so I went because it came out of love. And that's what the coach was saying. If you should not concede or compromise or whatever if it doesn't come from
unless
loving
you're feeling
place.
It. Yeah. Unless you're just feeling it that it's it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? It's the right thing to do. And often if you're in a stress situation and you don't feel good within yourself and you don't have that love to give, it's just not available at that time. You know, we're not always available for that.
Yeah.
In that situation, you can't. That's where I wouldn't concede. And I say, you know what? I'm putting myself first.
But it's so normal to do that in relationships. You know, you hear our parents, they would tell you, yeah, you know, it's
yeah, in their relationships.
Yeah,
I guess it's just changing so much. And again, we're back to what we were just talking about before. We have that space to explore unconditional loving relationships.
Mm.
And I think...
Do you think they didn't?
I think there's been unconditional loving relationships since the dawn of time, but maybe less, or at least the ones I've seen in my parents, where I've seen it was a lot of conditional and a lot of collusional relationships where you're with one another to implicitly fix a lot of your issues, and you don't really realize that, and there's a dynamic going on where you're actually hurting yourselves. I think that could be in any relationship at a certain dose, you know, sprinkled at a certain dose. Yet,
I mean, you are in a relationship to heal, right?
I'll correct that. We are in relationships to heal our individual wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
But it's not the role of the partner to heal that.
It's not the role, and I was actually talking about reenacting the trauma you've lived in your childhood. A lot of relationships are there, especially like the passionate ones, you know, where people love each other and then they throw stuff at each other's faces. That's a very conditional relationship that's here, where you're expecting the other partner to fill in all the voids that you have within yourself and vice versa. And that's why you fall so deeply in love, because you feel, finally, I have that person that is going to fix my mommy issues, and I'm going to fix her daddy issues, and it's going to work out. That's not what I would call define as love. I would just call it as it's a
sex.
Agreement. sex with an agreement and with great feelings of attraction. So unconditional love, as we were talking about it before, to me is that. It's really just having yourself always in priority. And the person in front of you will understand that, because they're doing the same thing. And they know there'll always be a priority. And they can love you better that way. They can love you more purely, I'd say.
More respect.
To me, love is just a deep respect for the other person.
Yeah.
You know, this space.
And a commitment.
And a commitment. Yeah. And love is a commitment, definitely. It's a choice. Yeah. It's a choice. You decide to love somebody.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right. Anything else we talked about for the last 3 days?
Kind of covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah. We'll come back. Maybe episode 3. We'll see. Thanks, Sirin.
Thank you.